Hi everybody, we're glad you could join us for this episode of the GovCon video blog. So today is the last installment of a 9-part series covering the export control rules under ITAR and EAR. And if you want to check out the entire series, just go to the GovCon video blog webpage on the Amadeo Law Firm's website, and you can find all of the installments there. Now, we may cover some discrete export control topics in more detail in future vlogs, but this series at this point should give contractors an understanding of some of the basic issues to keep in mind when dealing with transfers to foreign countries or to foreign persons. And as we've said, ITAR and EAR restrict the export of controlled items without a prior approval or a license. And in our last 3 vlogs, we discussed the concepts of exports, controlled items, and restrictions under EAR. So to set the table for today's vlog, let's say you have a contractor that figures out that not only is it making or selling something that's controlled and listed on the Commerce Control List, but it also knows for a fact that it will be selling or distributing something to a foreign country or a person from a foreign country. Well, as we learned from our last vlog, General Prohibition 1 under EAR prohibits the unlicensed export of an EAR-controlled item to a country for which a license is required prior to export. So today, we're going to talk about 3 things that contractors should know about licensing requirements under EAR. So one thing that contractors should know is that the licensing requirements for items controlled on the Commerce Control List depend on 1, the reason why the item is controlled, and 2, the intended destination country. So the Commerce Control List is in Supplement Number 1 to Part 774 of the EAR regulations, and that list identifies the items that are controlled. The list is first broken up into broad categories like electronics and computers, then subcategories, and then finally the discrete kinds of items that are controlled. And generally, for each discrete item, the CCL has a section for licensing requirements, and in that section, there's typically a 2-column chart. One column identifies the reason why the item may be controlled. The second column of the chart then identifies the country chart, which lists all the countries for which licenses are required for that particular control reason. So let's take a random item on the CCL. One item is for pumps designed to move molten metals by electromagnetic forces. And that item has a code number 2A993 on the CCL. And if you look up that item on the CCL, the licensing requirements section has a 1-line chart, indicating in one column that these pumps are controlled for anti-terrorism purposes. The second column in the chart just says AT column 1. Well, AT column 1 is the particular location in the country chart that lists all of the countries that require licenses for items controlled for anti-terrorism purposes. And that country chart is found in part 738. So if you go to that country chart and look at AT column 1, you will see that there's only one country identified in AT column 1, and that is Sudan. So if a contractor is exporting these pumps to France or the United Kingdom, although these pumps are controlled for anti-terrorism purposes, the country chart indicates that licensing requirement is not applicable to exports destined for France or the United Kingdom. The second thing the contractor should know is that there are several categories of license exceptions. In other words, although the export of an item to a certain country might ordinarily be subject to EAR licensing requirements, EAR includes several exceptions under Part 740 that apply broadly to categories of items. For example, there is an exception for certain computers, there are exceptions for certain technology and software, and there is an exception for servicing and replacement of parts and equipment. And the one exception that might be the most commonly used exception, and one that so few of the people who benefit from it know about, is the exception for baggage. The exception for baggage highlights the usefulness of having broad categories of exceptions. When people take trips abroad, invariably, they're exporting some or all of the stuff that they're taking with them. And this is particularly true if they're taking medical devices or electronics or personal computing devices. Well, in the absence of a broad exception, it would be a bit onerous and unrealistic to expect people to examine the CCL and licensing tables for every personal item that they're taking with them. So some of the licensing exceptions not only act to affirmatively authorize exports of broad categories of items, they also may spare people and companies what often can be a time-consuming process of determining if an item is on the CCL, if so, exactly where in the CCL an item might fall under, and which licensing requirements apply to which countries. Occasionally, it's easier to determine that an exception applies to a product or service than it is to determine the CCL category, subcategory, or CCL item that the product or service falls under. And one last thing to mention here is that in order to take advantage of a licensing exception, contractors have to make sure that they comply with all of the prerequisites for that exception and that no licensing exception restrictions apply. The third thing the contractor should know is that the licensing process can take 90 days or more. So if a contractor thinks that it will be exporting an item that's controlled under EAR to a country that requires an export license and there's no license exception, it should anticipate that getting a license isn't going to happen overnight. Now, EAR licenses are filed with the Department of Commerce's Bureau of Industry and Security, or BIS. And the EAR rules say that license applications will be resolved no later than 90 days after a license application is registered by BIS. And registration happens when the application is entered into BIS's electronic processing system. And if an application is deficient, perhaps an important item of information is missing and it can't be registered, well, that may further delay the application process. But clearly, knowing that the application review process can take up to 90 days or more, well, that's reason enough for contractors that need or want to export their products or services overseas to get a handle as quickly as possible on whether the good is controlled under the CCL and what export licensing requirements apply to the intended destination country. Now, license applications typically have to be filed electronically with BIS's Simplified Network Application Processing System, or SNAP-R. But to use that system, applicants need to log on to BIS's registration webpage and become registered. So again, contractors will want to build in some time to do that and get the process started. So to sum up, the three things that contractors should know about licensing requirements under EAR are: one, licensing for items on the CCL depends on the reason for control and the intended country destination. Number two, there are several categories of license exceptions. And number three, the licensing process can take 90 days or more. Well, that's all for today's vlog. We hope you come back as we post more vlogs in the future. And thanks again for joining us in this episode of the GovCon video blog.